obviously operates and manifests in different ways. And all of God's people that believe in Him has the Holy Spirit. And accordingly, God will then sometimes just speak through His saints like He did this morning. So if you've not been, or if you've not seen this before, even if it's a bit weird, check out Scripture. It is in there. And if you've got any questions, please chat to me afterwards. And then just second to that, I believe when we do share words, when God comes and He speaks to us as His children, let's also test it. Let's not be weird about it. Let's test it and say, what did you say again 3 weeks ago? What was God saying? And let's deal with it, as I said last week, as valuable, not only unto the Lord, but unto ourselves. And let's keep those words. Let's not think, oh man, that was just awesome. My ears was tickled by that awesome experience, but we leave the words at church. Let's take them home. Let's remember what everybody's shared and trust that it will bring forth fruit in our lives. I'm going to pray quickly, and then I'm going to share the message that I believe God wants to share with us this morning. God, thank you that you give us knowledge, and you grace us with knowledge. But even more so, as Paul said, that man's faith today will not be based on my words, but your Spirit and power. In a big way. Thank you that man's faith will not be based on mere words of man, but your word that is living and powerful, and your Spirit and power. We thank you for that. We ask for impartation, and I pray in Jesus' name for the eyes to see, for the hearts to grasp, for the ears to hear what God is saying to each and every individual in Jesus' name. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we've been chatting a lot about being anchored. And the last three sessions that I did, or last three Sundays that I did, we actually stood still around intimacy, as Tish also shared, and then Johan shared just now. And we shared about, if you want to be an anchored people, if you really want to be anchored in Christ, anchored in a true hope, it comes from a place of intimacy with the Lord. Not ticking a box, getting to church or getting to small group or now and again doing something on Christmas. It's about a personal relationship with the Lord. And so we should not be chasing each other around to do religious tricks, jump through religious hoops. But what we can do is we can challenge one another in love and say, hey man, are you connecting with the Lord? Are you spending time in His Word? Are you connecting with Him? And what is He saying to you? He's a good Father. And if we believe life flows from that place of intimacy, what is He saying to you? What is He doing in your life? So the three things we said is that we need heart's connection. And it comes from just the desire. Saying, Lord, I can't really add anything. I can just say, I'm hungry. I desire to meet up with you. Then I said, do you have a chair? Do you have a place? Do you have a spot where you connect with the Lord? Do you make time in this busy lifestyle that we have to connect with Him and to hear from Him? And then lastly, I said, kind of piggybacked on what I started off with today, is do we as charismatic Christians still value, truly value, the presence of the Lord and His voice to us? Or is Facebook and Google and gatherings and conferences just so blasé-ly full of these things that we kind of think it's either the rugby or it's maybe either the park run or it's maybe going for golf or, and it's just one of the things we do. I like going to have coffee at Vida, or I might just hang around a bit in the Lord's presence. I'd like to read the paper or News 24, or quickly scroll down on my Facebook page, or I might just check out what God is saying to me in my heart. And so we've watered down, maybe, and I say this lovingly, watered down what other people have hoped and dreamed to see and hear. And we sometimes need to pinch ourselves to realize how fortunate and in what fortunate age and period we actually live. That through Christ we can freely enter His presence. A presence that changes us and we can hear His voice. And so we ended off there. And now just in July we find ourselves now, this year's flown by. And we're just over halfway of the year. How's your year been? Just quickly, three, four answers. How's your year been thus far? Very interesting. Interesting is good. Challenging, yes. Very busy. Fast, okay. Anybody else? How's your year been? Lekker. Okay, that's good. Okay, but they were in Italy, the telly. Joke to tell. But it's good sometimes to take stock. Do you ever just stand still and take stock of where your life is? Just saying, where am I at the moment? Lord, where am I finding myself? Now, we recently did it, myself and Edna. Sometimes God pushes you and you have to do it. But it's, I believe, just in the gift that the Lord has given me and the tool set that He's given me, it's something I constantly do. Other people, maybe not. But it's a good exercise just to say, where am I? What was the vision that the God gave me at the beginning of the year? What was the dreams, the admiration, the stuff that I wanted to run for this year? And where do I find myself in that at the moment? Can I take, or do I take stock in asking God, God, how are we doing? So what did the Lord say to us as a church at the beginning of the year? Be anchored. Okay, cool. And we're still fleshing, we're still walking that out. Hopefully not hammering it too hard, but if God says something to us, we want to be good stewards of it. We want to take heed. We want to listen. It's not just an awesome idea or not just a nice idea from the Lord. It is something that we need to take to heart. And so myself and Edna did it, and we just said, Lord, where are we? Myself and Pietri actually got together, and we just took a bit of stock. Where are we at the moment? Are we being anchored? And if so, in what areas can we actually grow in it? And we did the same with the small group leaders and a couple of other guys that just got together, and we just said, Lord, we went into His presence, we worshiped Him, and we said, Lord, please speak to us of where we're at. And you'll see why this is important just now, because I believe it's not only important for the guy trying to run the church or a guy trying to run a small group or the worship leader or the setup leaders or whomever. It is important to every single one of us to sometimes just stand still and take stock. You've seen it before that you can go to the next slide. I've jokingly said this before, but I always get lost in Canal Walk when I have to go see somebody like George just for a quick coffee. I usually have no idea where I parked and how I can get where I need to be. I still suck at it. And sometimes life is like that. You might know your age, you might know your country, might know the pure basics, but actually deep down in eternity, you're not always sure where you are. And then going to the board or going to the tani to say, excuse the tani for RCNR, helps a lot. Where do I find Mug and Bean? I've lost it in Canal Walk. It's a good idea to sometimes just stand still and ask somebody, ask the board. And in this case, ask the Lord. So this is what we're quickly doing today, and this is what I'm maybe challenging you to do with the fast. It's just to stand still. Just go check again. Lord, where are we, and where are we actually going? And He's faithful. He's a loving Father. He will speak. So we did that. And so a couple of words that came out that evening was that God has been putting a net together, a golden net. Dominique just explained it so beautifully. Chat to her afterwards. She can give you the detail. But God has, through this church, created a net that He uses. He's also called us to go deeper and to live in a place of overflow. That Tish shared with us. There were many other words, but these are just the ones that quickly came to heart this yesterday or 2 days ago. Then I went through a week where there was a lot of pressure, and I said, Lord, what is going on? Where am I? On the board, where am I? And the only word God gave me was transition. And I'm like, okay, well, then we're busy with a transition of some sort, but He didn't give anything more. I kept quiet that evening, and then Narina clearly heard the same thing, and she said, well, there's a pressure. It's not necessarily the enemy, but it's because of the transition. It's like giving birth that you and maybe people in the church are experiencing a pressure. We shouldn't just give the enemy the fault for everything. Sometimes just in seasonal changes of transition, there is pressure involved. You'll know it in business, you'll know it in sport, you'll know it in your family. You can ask Chris that came here with his droopy eyes. They just got a young one. He's home. He's been home now for a week. So they're in transition, and with transition comes pressure. And so it's good then to realize, oh, well, I'm not losing my marbles. What I'm experiencing in the spirit God knows about it, and there's a reason for it. Okay? If you're in the dark, it's just at least good to know where you are and why is it actually dark at the moment. And that's basically what today is about. It's just saying, hey guys, don't just nie net voortstorm deur die lewe nie. Don't just rush through life. Quiet down your soul. Be still and know that He's God. Go to the board of life, being the Holy Spirit and the Word, and then people, fruit-bearing Christians around you, and saying, where are we? What is the vision of where we're going? Are we still heading in the right direction? It's something that really is a passion to myself. We heard a bit about it this week, and so Philip shared a lot, and I just took some of those scriptures, and I'm going to flesh them out this morning. So, first question, why do I need direction? Why do I need vision? And why do I need God's voice? Anybody, just skip in the title, since you understand what I'll say. Purpose? Yes, for purpose. Why do you guys need direction? Why do you need vision? To get to the place where you want to be? Yes. To stay on track? Yes. Without vision, you perish. Absolutely, we're going to get to that. Without vision, you perish. Without being able to see you what? You walk into stuff. You bump your head. Who's ever been visionless in a season of their life? Only four of us. How did the rest of you get saved? Well done. Oh, yeah, I didn't. So obviously there was times in our lives where we thought we could see, but we didn't at all. And so you soon realize when the things perish and when destruction head your way that, yeah, you're not seeing at the moment. You can go to the next slide for me, please. And the next one. And the next one. Thank you. You can just scroll through until everything is there. Okay, cool. So a vision, quick definition, as I said, Peter and I heard about one or two of those things. It's the faculty or state of being able to see. The faculty or state of being able to see. That's vision. And so today we're stepping back. We're not focusing on a particular vision, but we're just saying, hey, can we take stock and make sure that we are where we need to be and that according to the Lord, we know where we're going as individuals, as families, but also as a church community. The ability to think about or plan the future with imagination and wisdom. That's the Oxford Dictionary. For me, it's plain and simple. You can see, and you can see the future. The two of you guys, do you have a particular vision? Okay, let me help you. They're engaged. Stay out of trouble. They're engaged. I'm not speaking about one very spiritual vision. They have a vision. They have a vision to get married, to become one. That's a pretty serious vision. All right, so at least they, most of the time, most of the resources, most of probably everything is going into a certain direction at the moment, right? Most of it. They both nod pretty quickly. And so everything is going, it's being poured out, laid down for the vision at hand. But it's a very clear vision. And that you need to keep that up. And you need to keep that before you and before your heart. And you need to see that, constantly see that to realize, well, why am I going? Why am I phoning everybody? Why am I driving around? Why am I fitting into this and fitting into that? Why am I tasting this and why am I tasting that? You need to keep the vision before you. And so like it is for them in this particular season, it is for all of us. And we just need to check, Lord, where am I again? And as a Christian, as a disciple, as a follower of the Lord, am I actually doing what you called me to do? So for me, it's just vision is to be able to see. Having vision is to be able to see. Everybody has it or should have it. And if they don't, I believe they don't have hope. Okay? So if it need not even be a Christian vision, but if you've got vision, if you've got plan, if you've imagined certain things in a business context, in a sporting context, it means that you have a hope for a certain outcome. Okay? So you have a hope. As we said before, and we're going to touch on it now, sometimes as Christians, we need to redefine and put it in the refiner's fire what we hope for. Because otherwise we get hurt. If my hope does not submit to and are being able to go through the chops and cuts of the Word of God, then it's not a God-given hope and vision. So with vision, obviously, hand in hand goes prophecy. There's not much of a difference. I believe whenever we in a Christian context speak about vision, apologies, it will include prophecy. What is prophecy again? What did we say to each other? We did it at the beginning of the year a couple of times. What is prophecy again? You can probably read it at the back now. Yes, you can. Great stuff. Prophecy. Prophecy is to make clear beforehand. So it's to beforehand make something clear. What more is that than having vision? That's quite cool, guys, by the way. If you're a Christian, born again believer that has the Word of God and the Spirit of God with you, that is yours. That through the relationship of between you and this loving Father, that you can beforehand have the clarity about a certain matter or things of life. So you can boldly go to that board in Canal Walk and say, I want to know where Mug and Bean is. And you will be led forth to Mug and Bean. It's deeply profound and it's really amazing. And so we've got the... I need to excite you because I believe it's pretty good stuff. I didn't make it up. I'm just giving back to you that's been said before. But it's pretty awesome stuff. And you'll see why I say so just now. And so God clarifies beforehand what is going to happen or where you're going to go or how you need to get there through prophecy. Prophecy involves divinely empowered forthtelling, the mind of God. So you know the will of God before it manifests. So I've said this before, if I need to do a sermon and I'm really stressed out or there's pressure, it might be a new church, people that I don't know, it might be something that is a bit of a controversial topic, I'll ask God, how was the sermon before I preach it? And so God will prophetically tell me how it was even before it happened. That's vision, that's prophecy. So he'll tell me, he'll give me a keyword, he'll say, it flowed. In other words, it was by the Spirit. It really flowed. And afterwards, I'll stand there amazed, and it really flowed. Sometimes he'll warn me. But he knows because he's not bound to our time. And this is how amazing our God is that he makes it clear for me even before it happens. Does it always happen? It doesn't work with rugby. It's called witchcraft if you start dabbling with that. But with God-given things, with gospel-given things, I can boldly ask, Dad, how was it? I can ask him beforehand, and he can show me a picture. He can lead me. And that's for all of us. He can give me what? Vision. All godly vision is prophetic in nature. All godly vision is prophetic in nature. So going back to our question, why? And this is a scripture Philip used this week that really blessed me. It really just hit me. And that's what you can do now, just after halfway through the year. You can just double check your life at the hand of the Word of God, the sword. That's what we do. You can go to the next slide for me, please. Why do we want vision? You can just click, click, click until everything is there. Thank you so much. Why do we want vision as Christians? Why do we want vision as people? And I love this scripture. Proverbs 29:18 in the Message says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. Just imagine us in the dark, having to dance and walk and move. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, what is prophecy again, making clear beforehand, what he reveals, they are most blessed. Having vision as a believer and a follower of the Lord is being blessed. I just see a couple of guys just there. Petri's got vision of the Lord. And I can see how it blesses his life. From behind, I know he shared stuff that God has shared with him way back. And some of it has manifested, maybe not even all. But I know it's a man with a vision. Albert, I know, albeit in ministry's sake and the ministry call on his life, I can see clear vision. He doesn't know, he doesn't have all the answers, he'll tell you that. But make no mistake, he's got vision. And then in business as well, he's got very specific vision. Where did he get that? From, I believe, the only one that truly can give vision, and that is God. I believe there's no real vision other than what God can give. I'll tell you now why I say so. So if people can't see what they're doing, they stumble all over themselves. Is your life going through a patch, or do you find yourself in a season where you feel like I'm stumbling, I'm knocking myself into everything, nothing is working out? It feels like I'm running around in the dark. Then this might be a very good key for you to say, Lord, please show me. Please give me fresh vision. Please speak to my heart. Second reason why I believe we need vision and need God's direction. My people are destroyed, something George alluded to. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. The Amplified says, of my law, where I reveal my will. I'm not even going to read the rest. We've got a little time, but my people are destroyed for a lack of knowing my will. Thank you so much. The New Living... No, one back. Thank you. You're too fast for us. The New Living Translation says the following. My people are being destroyed because they don't know me. It's beautiful how this comes from at the back end of a series or mini-series on intimacy. If your life is falling apart, if the wheels are coming off, this is not a hard word. This is just the truth, I believe, according to Scripture. Then probably you're not seeing anymore. You're not kindling that hope. And if you're not kindling that hope, and if you're not seeing anymore, if you don't have that vision, it's merely a case that you either don't know God or His character in an area, or totally at all, that you don't know His will in this particular season. It's nothing much deeper than that. But the joy is, the encouraging thing is that the Spirit is close. Emmanuel is close. His voice and His word is close. But the decision is yours. The decision of submitting and bowing your knee and confessing with your tongue, Christ, your Lord, take me back. Explain to me the will of the Lord. Explain to me through Scripture and through other believers discipling and helping me, what is the character of God concerning this particular matter, this area of life? I believe vision, 2020 vision, will be restored instantly. What good father, I see a couple of them around, what good father will not bless their children with the answers if it's within their range and ability to give it to them? If my children ask me for wisdom or ask me about something of their heart and I truly have the God-given answer, will I delay in giving it to them? But they need the humility to ask and say, Lord, hopefully not. But and say, Retief, Papa Retief, ek verstaan nie. I don't understand. I can't see. I don't have vision in this area. Obviously, they won't be so technical. And then I'm like, let me help you to see, because by the grace of God, I've seen in this area. Very simple. But yes, it's the very simple things that sometimes we miss in life. Okay, the third reason why we want vision, why we want prophetic vision into our life. Why are we standing in July and saying, Lord, where are we again and where are we heading again? Is my life built on the rock or not? The third reason we're doing this is Christ was a bit of ticked off with the Pharisees that got offended by these ways of doing. We're going to Matthew 15:13. He answered, speaking to his disciples, about the Pharisees. Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Will be rooted up. Yes. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the pit. Now, very simple picture once again. I believe we don't take it. We're not going to wring it out of context if we take it here. But I believe that we need to be careful what we follow. We need to be careful in our culture who we listen to. I'm not even saying, hey guys, got the t-shirt, listen to me. No, not at all. Test the Spirit. Test the Word. Know the Scriptures. And test the fruit. Not the person, not the church name, not the brand, not if it's orange, it's good. No, no, no. If it's Christ, it's good. If it's Word, it's good. If it's Spirit, it's good. If it's Him, it's good. Outside of Him, there's nothing good. I can give a kiff vision. I can use lots of dynamic illustrations. I wanted something bigger, but yeah. Illustrations to woo you and shock you and throw you around. But bottom line is it word? Is it spirit? Is it God? And we need to test that. And that is important. Let the blind not lead the blind, because guess what? The blind will not be able to lead you to Mug and Bean and Canal Walk. I say that, obviously, in a spiritual, hypothetical type of way. Definitely not in a direct way. But spiritually, in life, who's speaking into your life? Who's giving direction? Who's showing you the way? Is it your huisgenoot of your rapport? Die sari of your rooie rose? They know what all the English magazines are. Or is it the Word of God? Faithful believers, fruit-bearing believers around you in your life. And so that's the third thing, why we actually want vision. We don't want to be led by the blind. We want to be led by the truth. All right? And then lastly, bringing it back to Christ, is why do we need vision? Like Christ, or as disciples of Christ, we want to do as Christ did. And just a quick scripture in John 5. Then Jesus replied, "I assure you, the Son is not able to do anything on His own, but only what He sees the Father doing." The Son is not able to do anything on His own, but what He sees the Father doing. The challenge might be to you, as a follower of Christ, as a disciple of Christ, there must be this amazing, amazing opportunity that falls into your lap. The one question, the one vision question is my Father doing this? Is my Father taking this opportunity? Is my Father taking this gap? Because if you take it on your own, you take it on your own. We're going to get to which vision is of the Lord and which not just now. But we followers of who again? Christ. And so, just referring to that Matthew scripture of the blind leading the blind, and I know it's not within context, but just if you think in our modern culture, there's so many idols. I think Mammon can be a blind guide leading the blind. Not knocking, we need resources and finance that God gives us through godly ways. Make no mistake. But let's just keep the balance. The JSE can be your guide, the blind guiding the blind. The blow biller. Maybe not anymore, but your team, that victory, the things that gives life, what gives me vision. There's lots of things. There's lots of things out there. We'd like to just take you on a road and say, let me lead you along the path of whatever sake. And just be careful. Test it. And we test it by the way in which Christ did it. We had verse 20 there in John 5. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him everything He is doing. Hey guys, we referred to sonship this morning. Who's a son of God? Daughter of God. Come on, who's a son of God? Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Okay. Following who again? Christ. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him everything He is doing, and He will show Him greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. What He had in sonship, through the Spirit and grace, I can have in sonship. When God had, through an intimate relationship, shown Him the things, given vision to His Son daily and seasonally and for His life, how much more also for us? Graciously say, hey, my dear son, my dear daughter, I know that you've been born into sin. Actually, you cannot see. You can't see squat. But by my grace, through my Son and His Spirit, I can give you vision daily. I can lead you daily. I can lead you seasonally. You just need to have the humility and open up yourself to say, Lord, please speak vision into my heart. Please speak to me prophetically. So beautifully, Sam shared with me, when she got out of the buggy this morning, when she parked outside, coming in for worship, she got Isaiah 61. What is that again? Yes. If you go read it, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He has anointed me too. And then it goes on. This is a prophecy about Christ. He then later obviously fulfills it and reads it in the synagogue. What is that? It's vision. It's vision. It's Christ's vision. He came and he saw what he needed to do. He could see from the beginning. Even he knew he was going to lay down his life and be killed. But even when they prematurely wanted to do that, he said, no, that's not what I see. I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to get killed for all of them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to die for them. But it's not now. So cheers. See you later. Vision. He had constant vision. He had prophetic insight because he knew what the Father was doing and he was connected through intimacy with him. Anybody excited about such a lifestyle? Anybody think that that's just pie in the sky and it's nice, but when we go out here, we just face real life? Because I want to come against that lie in Jesus' name. You know what? If God is the giver of true vision, then the enemy is obviously always just going to be the opposite. Division, no vision. So whenever you're facing areas where you have no vision, where you can't see, it's just the enemy, the works of the enemy, the father of lies at work. That's all. The opposite of prophecy. He'll just always operate in the opposite of what God does. Doesn't create something new. And the opposite of prophecy will be either false prophecy or fear or the rejection of the word of the Lord. But anyway, that's a sermon for another day. Quickly, there's lots of people with vision out there, but it's not God, right? Is there Christians out there that's got vision? Amazing, it sounds good. You can just slap it on a t-shirt. You can put it on your behind of your car. You can even get a tattoo so good's that vision. Not you, speaking now in a bigger context. Treading on, walking on eggs. Needing to be careful. Going back to the main point, keeping the main thing the main thing. Thank you, Lord. But you can have this great vision as a person these days, but even as a Christian, you can have great vision, but is it necessarily God? Not always. How would you test it? By the word of God, yes. Is it good or is it God? And so, we're in the middle of the year, we're saying, Lord, we want to be anchored, but maybe let's just quickly stop. Let's just check me and myself and my home, Lord. Where are we? And yes, we've got great vision, but Lord, maybe just let's just refine that vision again. That hope that we have. We see, but Lord, do we actually see? And so every vision we embrace should be anchored in God's vision. We heard this week and it just makes so much sense. What am I saying? That if you follow Christ and if you're truly a disciple, then your vision for your life cannot contradict or be in opposition to Christ's vision. Otherwise, it is division. And then you're not truly following Him, but you're truly maybe following yourself and your own kingdom. And so maybe we can just trust the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, I've got these dreams for my life. I've got this vision, but it doesn't really fit through the gospel. The hook is at the beginning fast. So God, what now? Either redefine, change my heart, help me, become graciously. He is gracious. But if it too doesn't mix, then we need to go back to Scripture, and we need to go back to our prayer room. Colossians 1:16 says, for by Him and all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. And listen up, all things were created through Him and for Him. Guess what? What were you made for? All of you. What were you made for? You were made for God. Every single one of us were made for God. That's offensive to the Western culture and the spirit of entitlement. I say, yes, 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 maybe on Sundays and Wednesday evenings and now and again on Christmas, but I am my own person. No, no, guess what? You are made for God. And we're the lucky ones that accepted that truth now here on earth, and we bowed our knee. But there will come a time where every single thing under the sun will realize and bow their knees, confess with their tongues, we were made for you. Not for ourselves, not for our own lusts, not for our own kingdoms, not for our own names and egos and brands and great visions and stuff. And I'm not knocking good things that sport people do, business people do. I don't knock those things. I'm just saying, hey guys, in this culture we find ourselves, be careful. Just be careful. We were made not for ourselves. I was not made for my own ministry. You can have that in ministry. Don't think that you don't. I wasn't so that my gesig kan pronk op my beste verkoper boek. I was made for him. I was made for him. I was made for him. I was not made for Edna. Dankie Petri. We're accountable, but really I didn't say anything. But neither was Edna made for me. Yes, I need to love her, like whom Johan shared this morning. And there's a beautiful relationship that God's given us. But she was made for God. We might go out to one today, but anyway. We need to stick to God's vision. What else was God's vision? God's vision, if we look at Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our own image according to our likeness. God wanted relationship. I'm going to cut to the chase. He wanted to have relationship with us. God broken in Eden, and so he sent his son to restore the vision of having relationships, us as sons and daughters. So if I've got this great vision, I'm going to pioneer, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do these great things, but it's got nothing to do with relationship for myself, my family, with the Lord. There's no connection whatsoever, and I don't care about AB having a relationship with God either. I need to test that vision. It can evenly be a very, very godly thing, but if it's not based on the fine and finite vision of the Lord, I need to redefine my own vision and just put it in the fire and say, Lord, help me. And then lastly, why else? Matthew 28, the Great Commission. You all know it. Jesus gave them authority. And then he said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Now he gives this great commission to his children. He gives it to all of his disciples. Now I'm not saying you have to be 100% busy with that every day of your life. But if you really, in your heart, have no space, and there's really not a care in the world for making disciples or the nations or the lost, I'm not here to say anything. I'm just trusting that maybe the Holy Spirit will then bring a conviction upon us to say, is the vision, is the thing I'm building, is the empire I'm building, is it really a godly one? Because it kind of contradicts or kind of comes in conflict with what I'm called to do as well. Please hear my heart. I'm treading softly and lightly upon this, and because I'm getting tested with this the whole time. I'm getting really tested about my motives. What's my heart? Do my heart really break for the next guy? Do I actually care about the loss? Or do I just do my job and I like fellowshipping with those that think the same way I do? So even my ministry vision, I need to put it and refine it and say, Lord, does it contradict or does it flow with your vision? You get the point. Let's test our visions. Quickly, practical Christianity. God said to us, be anchored. Have a hope. Hope to be safe and secure. The natural man will say, it's a place where I'm in control, where I know what's going to happen. And where I can control things. Yet in my first sermon of this year, God said to, as with Mary, mother of Jesus, the angel came and he just trashed her plans and said, you know, guess what? The Messiah is going to be your son. And you're actually going to suffer. And she realized in that moment, she was just going to get married. Sorry that I've referred to you guys now, but it's quite the same. But she had a plan. She knew that she was going to get married. And here God says, well, you're going to get pregnant by the Holy Spirit. I'm just toppling over your plans. You might get stoned. This is not prophetic. Relax. But it's a good way of thinking about it. And so she was planning a wedding and she was engaged and everything was set and done and dusted, and here God comes and he rocks the world. He turns everything upside down. And her reply was so beautiful. She was anchored in truth, anchored in the character of a God, anchored in a vision that only he can give. And she said to him, even though I don't understand, I see you. I see the one that I know. I see that he is heading before me and he's in control. Because I know him. I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me according to your word. And so he did that. Now, for us, we've got very little time. But in our family, myself and Edna and the kids, we've got sorted. We love church. We love doing things. But obviously, I love the prophetic. I think that'll be a lie if I say I don't. I really love it. And I really, in my life, by the grace of God, I move from one prophecy of one promise to another. That's almost like going from one season to another. It's just from one promise to another. And so in December, I prayed over this year and I said, Lord, vision, what are you saying to us personally? And he said, take the opportunity that comes to you. I'm like, okay. What does it mean? And God just says, take the opportunity that comes to you. So this word is hanging in my spirit. And I know it's of the Lord because it was quite clear and I just don't know what's going to happen. And so in our work context, we had a place where the church grew. There's lots of people. And we thought, maybe get somebody else in for admin. Edna does well with pastoral work. And we work well together. We're going to get somebody extra in into church. Long story short, like with Mary, God then just came about a month ago, 3 weeks ago. And he sent an opportunity, which doesn't make sense to us. But he just came and toppled our world. He had 2 minutes net om te share wat gebeur het.
So basically, 3 years ago, we were at Convergence and they were talking about idols, and my idol is comfort. It's actually one of the things, I hate being uncomfortable, I hate being cold, I hate being stretched, and my whole life that's what God does with me, because he thinks I can do more than I think I can, and that's a good thing. So he constantly challenges me and stretches me. Someone else who's a go-getter, he will constantly tell you to stop, stop, stop. I wish he would tell me to stop, but he constantly pushes me. So this year, I basically told God, I felt like God was kind of weaning me from church, because we obviously have on our heart to have a baby, so this whole plan I had. But actually, God was starting to wean things, like giving over the discipleship groups. I felt like I had to give things over. It was so that he can give me more work. So about 3 weeks ago, I basically got a job as a teacher. And then the morning, one of the workers at school, because I actually taught at the school before, he was like, "Wanneer kom juffrou terug?" Ek sê, "Never. I have a job, you know. This is not for me. I never want to go back." Anyway, so 20 minutes later, the principal calls me into his office. "Like, can I quickly speak to you?" And he's like, "Well, we have this job opportunity. It's actually quite, it happened quite quickly. And we were thinking of you, and the Holy Spirit is all over me." And I'm like, "What is going on?" You know, I'm like, "Lord, why?" And I got home, I told him the same thing. He's like, I've got this job opportunity. It doesn't make sense. I've awakened. I've evergreen. It doesn't make sense. My flesh wants to go. No, thank you." And we were just like, the Holy Spirit is in this. It's okay, Lord. My life does not belong to me. You are giving me more work. It's fine. But a while ago, I was actually at a place of frustration and discontent. I was like, things aren't working, and I didn't understand why. And like I said, I actually wanted less responsibility. And God gave me Zechariah 2, where it says, because I feel like sometimes I can't do all these things. I'm like, I'm making as quick as I can. Anyway, and so God said, "I'm measuring Jerusalem." He gave me that scripture directly. "I'm measuring Jerusalem from a length to a width." And I was like, I was feeling like God put walls around me. You know, I need my boundaries and everything. And God's like, "I'm not going to put walls around Jerusalem. I'm going to let the people and the animals come and go. But I will be the glory in her midst. I will be the firewall around her. And I will guard her as the apple of my eye." And I was like, that's vision. For me, that was, okay, Lord, gates open. Here we go. More, Lord. More things and people and stuff coming in and going. Because it's not my life. And because I had vision, I was like, I'm going to be okay. God is the glory in my midst. He's the fire around me. He will guide me because he is good. He's a good God. So when he says something, he provides. And he also gave me Isaiah 54, where stretch out your tent pegs, enlarge the place of your tent. And I just felt, because I had that vision, when the opportunity came, I was like, okay, God, you think I'm awesome. You're giving me more work, so that's fine. And it's just that perspective of God's eternal goodness. When he calls something into your life, it's because he's good and because he's with you and because he has already been there and provided. So that's my testimony.
Amen. Thank you, Melief. So we were caught by surprise, but we were not caught by surprise. the moment your flesh is like, no, there's no, and you realize the spirit because you know the voice says, this is me. And then we were accountable with about 6 people. Everybody said yes. And like, this does not make sense. But this is our God. And we will know, not be moving with carnal instinct and carnal vision, but we will go with faith vision. We'll go with a faith hope, one that has led us through the desert, that has never failed us. Was it tough? Yeah, it was darn tough. Is it going to be tough? Yes, probably. Petri shared on suffering. Suffering and gospel goes hand in hand. Let's make no mistake. But will it bring glory to the Lord? Will it bring contentment? Will it bring life? Most assuredly. And because God graciously gave us prophetic vision, He did not catch us unaware. And this is my heart. It's just saying, Lord, what are you saying? We don't understand everything. We still don't. From tomorrow on, I don't have somebody that helps me physically in church with admin anymore. But you know what? God's there. And guess what? It's His church. He might just be replying on your emails as well. So praise God for that. This scripture that I'm quickly going to share before we end off, I couldn't shake it. So there's a reason why the Lord wanted to share that with you. And I'm sure you grasp why I believe it's important to get vision. And also not to be overly zealous about vision and only have vision and get nothing to do done in your life as well. You can just have so many prophecies, but nothing comes to fruition. We'll deal about that later, because sometimes you see that in Christianity as well. It's to have a lot of mind thoughts, but not much is happening. True God vision will lead to fruit. As you graciously have seen. Please pray for Edna. Please pray for us as well, by the way. I said here, the fourth point and last point is the totality, safety, and greatness of our God. In vision and seeing as He sees, as a good Father, there's a totality, there's a safety, there's a greatness, there's the whole of your life that you can find in that place of His vision, His 2020 vision. Our culture is different. Our culture says, you make your plans, you do your thing, you work hard, you make your fortune, and on Sundays you go to church. Christ says, no, 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 no. I'm Lord. You lose yourself. You follow me. But then you start seeing as I see. Then you start seeing vision as I see vision. Then even though you don't understand perfectly well and grasp prophetically 100% accurately, you know the character of the one that is before you, that has been there, that has gone before you. And so Paul was in Athens in Acts 17. As I said, I couldn't shake this scripture, but he was walking around there. I'm quickly going to read verse 21. Now all the Athenians and the foreigners residing there spent their time on nothing else but telling or hearing something new. I believe there's maybe one or two parallels that we can draw with our culture and where we find ourselves as Christians. They just wanted to constantly hear something new. Please come and tickle my ears. And Paul was quite distraught by this. Even before that, in verse 16, it said, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, his spirit was troubled within him when he saw that the city was full of idols. So he gets to Athens, and I believe it's much like our modern-day culture. It's just a lot of idols. We just don't put them in shrines, and we don't make wooden stuff around them, but we... Yeah, let me not go into examples. I might just lose a couple of people. But you know what I'm talking about through the spirit of revelation. Hallelujah. So I believe we might find ourselves, and then some people, even Christians, unfortunately, just want to hear something new. They didn't even see the key and even book key and even did. But going back to the Gospels, laying down my life and living for Christ is a bit too much. And so I think Paul maybe had the same problem. Then Paul stood in the middle of the people and said, men of Athens, I see that you are extremely religious in every respect. For as I was passing through and observing the objects of your worship, I even found an altar on which was inscribed to an unknown God. Remember this, to an unknown God, he says. Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in shrines made by hands. This is the one, by the way, that gives us vision. Neither is he served by human hands as though he needed anything. He made us for himself, for companionship and relationship. Since he himself gives everyone life and breath and all things, from one man he has made every nationality to live on the whole earth and has determined their appointed times and the boundaries of where they live. He did so they might seek God and perhaps they might reach out and find Him. Though He's not far from each one of us. And this is what I believe. In this time, we need to just hear again. For in Him we live and move and exist. As even some of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. You can go to the next slide for me, please. King James says, for in Him we live and move and have our being. For in Him we live, He is life. Only He can give you life, nothing else, no other idol. Move, He's the one that gives vision. He's the one that moves you, both your emotions, but also, I believe, physically, the one that will direct you. Direct your paths, even though it does not make sense. And if in Him we find our being. There's no other true life except for in Him. And so, in this passage, Paul refers to these great religious people. They've got a lot of religious, spiritual devotion. But they don't know the God. One of them at least, but they have an unknown God. And I sometimes wonder if us as Christians, don't we have so much devotion, so much stuff we do, and we do the Christian culture thing, but doesn't He sometimes stay the unknown God? Or do you know Him personally? Where He can direct you into something that you did not expect and you know it is Him. Where He can give you a fresh vision and you know it is Him. And this is my heart's cry for us as a people. To in this time, to not follow devotionally, religiously, staunchly after an unknown God, but one that we know personally as a Father. May we know Him and be known by Him. May we see Him. May He give life, move, and give us eternal existence. I'm closing. Just you can go there to Proverbs 29:18, the last slide, I believe. Thank you. I don't have it on there, but just to repeat what we said at the beginning. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what He reveals, they are most blessed. My family and I, even though it is not something we would have chosen from our flesh or in our flesh, is most blessed in this season because we know God has spoken and He's given vision and He's spoken to us. And as He has spoken to many of you guys about this season and the season to come. And I want to just, if you can go back to the previous slide, I just want to say, guys, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that you may run who reads it. And I want to say to you personally, I want to say to you and your family, just go back to Him again, the vision giver. The one that is prophetic, the one that gives vision, and that is actually our provision. Go back to Him in this time, and even these 3 days, if you decide to fast, and just say, Lord, remind me again, where am I and where are we going? And may You just come and impart that vision into our hearts. Let's stand and let's pray. Please. God, thank You that You call us as sons and daughters. Thank You, Lord, that You call us to inherit vision, Lord. Thank You that the vision giver cannot but give us vision if we ask. And thank You, Lord, that I believe You've stirred in our hearts and You've stirred in us as a community. Just to grasp how important it is to see, Lord. We are in a dark world where the blind leads the blind. And Lord, we don't want to fall into that pit. We don't want to be, we want to walk in humility. We don't want to be full of pride either. But Lord, have grace on us to see in this season. God, we consecrate the following couple of days for those that are just going to set it aside. Just to seek again and say, Lord, just give me eyes to see again, Lord. Just give me vision to see again. And to see the way that You want me to see and to follow where You want to lead me, Lord. And God, lastly, I pray for vision that we have carrying in our heart and that dreams that we have that might not be a godly hope, Lord. Thank You, I know You come lovingly as a loving Father will with His kids. You come along, Lord, and You convict, and then You come as we let You and You change. And so, Lord, if there's any visions and dreams that need to change, be redefined, because at the end of the day, they're going to hurt us. That's why you want to change. You're not a killjoy. You just don't want us to carry vision and dreams that's going to hurt us and break us. Then I ask that through your Spirit you will also speak in this time so that we will have godly vision and be anchored in one hope, and that is Christ Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen, guys. Thank you for the extra 6 minutes. I appreciate that. Please grab some coffee and cake. And please grab some fresh vision this week. God bless. We'll chat next week.